That's right, ladies and gentlemen, live from the Screwball Whiskey Studios. You heard it here first. So, please go and check out Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey at www.screwballwhiskey.com. And drop some kind words there. And tag Screwball Whiskey and MI Stuff Podcast in a social media post just so I can see how many folks are hearing about Screwball Whiskey through the podcast. I'm curious. Anyway, this episode was pretty much a recap of yesterday for me. It was a pretty busy day and a lot of random thoughts and a lot of rambling. And forgive me for that. But I tie everything back together. It was all rambling around the one particular subject. I should specify that. I didn't really leave the subject at hand for the duration of this talk. I pretty much stayed on one subject, and that one subject is overcoming things that you struggle with, and how I have done that over the last couple of months, and just pretty much talked about me having success at mental victories and things like that, and just having a great gig last night when the odds were stacked against me. When I should have had a bad gig, I did not, and just that being abnormal. But maybe that is just a new normal for me. Maybe I'm just getting to the point where I can. Maybe I'm growing up a little bit more. I'm pretty stoked about that. So. I don't want to spoil any more of the content for you, but please go and check out my new singles, if you don't mind. You can search Kelsey Hudgens on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes Store, Amazon Music, Deezer, Tidal. All these platforms, go and follow Kelsey Hudgens, KelseyHudgins, just in case you're living under a rock and this is the first episode you found. And I say living under a rock. There's a lot of rocks you could have lived under that would, you know, make this podcast miss, you know, where you'd miss this podcast. So, but anyway, Jesus, what am I even talking about? I don't even know anymore. Anyway, just in case this is the first episode you've heard, that's how you spell it. I haven't spelled my name on an episode in a really long time. So my brain's just firing off random thoughts now, just in case you guys were wondering what's going on. Please go to MIStuffPodcast.com, MIStuffPodcast.com, and on the about/music section, there are links to all of the songs and the singles that I've released over the last couple of days, and there's going to be an album coming soon. Also, stay tuned. Click subscribe to the YouTube channel here so that you'll be notified when I go live next Monday with Brother Will Ness, and I may get a surprise episode to you here soon. Who knows? Who knows anything anymore? What I do know is that I'm going to be at Garden City Pier here in a little bit playing with the American Sound, and I'm stoked about that. So I'm going to go ahead and get the car loaded up and get headed on to that here in a little bit. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, episode number 156 of In My Stuff Podcast. Enjoy, motherfuckers. I said it, man. We ain't start with no Michael Jackson. You don't know what we're talking about, do you? You hadn't got there yet, have you? That's fine. So, let me get this in here just so I kind of have a little bit of a monitor. All right. So, sorry I've been absent this week. It's been really busy and picked up a couple of extra gigs that I didn't know I was going to have. And on days that I had planned on podcasting, I just didn't. I didn't have the energy. I didn't have the will, I guess. It's weird for me. Like I can summon energy to do something if I have the will to do it. I have to either have more energy or more will. So depending on how it was, I just haven't felt like it. And I mean, I'm sorry, but I'd rather be honest with you. I didn't feel like it. But that being said, I did a really, 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 really busy day yesterday. I did something I rarely ever do, and that's get up early and do two gigs. And excuse me, I can get away with it because depending on my energy level at a solo gig, it just controls whether or not I play like more singer-songwriter geared stuff or, more crowd-pleasing things. And at the beginning of my gig last night, let me start at the beginning. By the way, appreciate Red Band for my Death Squad pin. Mm-hmm. Yesterday morning, I got up at 9 o'clock and I went to bed earlier than normal, which was, 3-4 instead of 5 or 6. I went to bed around 3 o'clock and fell asleep shortly after 4, I would bet. I watched most of another episode of Kill Tony and fell asleep. And got up at 9, jumped in the shower, and went and grabbed guitar strings and stuff I would need for the weekend. And after I did, let me get this a little bit. There we can see what time it is. Did the shower thing. Went and got some damn strings so that I would have everything I needed for the weekend. And proceeded to go meet up with Adam and Smitty. Sorry, I keep having to clear my throat. Went and met up with Adam and Smitty, and we left to head towards Florence. Now, for those not from the area, Florence from Merle's Inlet is we plan on 2 hours. It's not quite 2 hours, but it's within 10 to 15 minutes of it every time. And getting up pretty early and getting on the road after, 3 hours of sleep, 5 hours of sleep, my math's bad. So I did get a bit more sleep than I'm used to for early gigs. Got up, did that. Actually went hard to get me a sausage biscuit. Too much information. Who cares? Made it to Florence, and the thing that we did in Florence was really cool. So it's called the Grateful Dog, the Grateful Dog Festival, and basically it's just a bunch of deadheads that put on this thing. And by a bunch of deadheads, I mean one in particular, Brother Sam Rogers, my beautiful friend Sam, who does amazing things for the animal community and the Humane Society in Florence. And I'm not sure if it's Humane Society, but he's a very active person in the animal community in Florence. And I've known Sam for a very, very, very long time, and he is just a beautiful soul, and I love him to death, and I'm so glad that he invited Cornbread to be a part of this thing that he puts on every year. And he will say, there's a lot of people I had help. I had people assisting me throughout this thing, but he does most of this stuff by himself, so all the appreciation goes to him. What was I just going to say? Oh, yeah. So, I don't know if you guys have figured it out or not. I don't know that I've talked about it a lot on the podcast. I'm sure that I have, and I'm sure that you guys can probably tell by looking at me and hearing me talk that I'm a pretty big Grateful Dead fan. And the band does a lot of Grateful Dead, and we didn't realize how much Grateful Dead we did until we were talking about it on the way to the festival yesterday. We were like, trying to go through all the Dead songs that we know so that we could pick the ones that we wanted to do at the festival. And we realized that, man, we're only going to be playing for like an hour and 15 minutes. So, yeah, like an hour and 15-minute set. We know more Dead than that. So we know more than an hour and 15 minutes worth of Dead. We could probably pull out an entire gig of nothing but Grateful Dead. We might need to do that one day. A tribute show for the Grateful Dead. I've been talking about doing that for years, by the way. I wanted to do it at Dead Dog because it was just be per the Grateful Dead dog tribute. And I wanted to call it that. And I went and talked to him about it. I was drunk. It was like the week that I had quit drinking. I even started a Facebook page and everything about the Grateful Dead dog tribute show, and I had it approved, and I was going to get a bunch of people together, and we're going to do all Grateful Dead all day, and just organizing that stuff is really, really tough, and there's a lot of work that goes into it, which is another reason why I want Brother Sam to get the recognition that he is due. And yeah, because there's a lot of effort that goes into that. But anyway, I digress. We talking about all the Grateful Dead that we do, and we chose a good hour and 15 minutes worth of good solid Dead, and it was fun, man. I just got to see. I was Florence. My hometown is like an hour away from Florence, so to go into Florence was sort of the thing to do then. There was nothing to do in my hometown. So we had to go to Florence to do anything. So basically it was like going back to my hometown to do a gig, which is fun. And got to see a lot of friends from back home that I would never get to see otherwise, just because I'm one introvert and almost a recluse. And two, just because I don't go home a lot. And it's not... And I say this a lot, and it makes me sound weird. I just don't. It's not like there's bad blood or anything like that. I just don't go home a lot. Anyway, I've talked too much already. Maybe I've hit this pin a couple too many times. Who cares? So, on the way back home, we made a couple of stops, and I actually kind of had a little moment there. Like, and by a moment, I mean I got pretty mad, and I was like just saying everything that I thought. Sometimes when I get mad, I just say everything that I think, and it's not the best way to handle things, but I just can't help it sometimes. And plus, I was a little outside of my hours of normal operation, and it was different. So we went to leave, and I asked, and I'll set this up by saying that I really did say several times, hey man, like I love y'all to death, but please don't be upset with me if, you know, I'm like on you guys to leave immediately after, just because I have to get back. I have to do another gig tonight, and I don't want to have to come straight home and load up the car and then go straight to the gig. I don't want to have to do that. Like, I want to be able to, you know, gather myself, renew my energy, basically, like just rejuvenate myself to be able to go and do another gig. It takes a lot of energy to do these things. I've talked about that a lot in this podcast. And, yeah, went to do that. I made it very clear. And then after the gig, Adam was talking with one of his friends, Brother Jeff. Shout out, Jeff. I think Jeff listens to the podcast. Geoff. He was talking to one of his buddies, and I was like, I'm going to go ahead and go to the truck. I've got to get home to a gig. And Adam was actually explaining to Jeff. He was like, yeah, he actually said this. He said, he's got to get back. He's got to do a gig. So we got to head back. And I was like, yeah, we do. And I said, it was very good to meet you, to Jeff's girlfriend, Geoff's girlfriend. And then I was like, love you, Jeff. Good to see you. And then I told Adam, I was like, I'm going to the truck. And he said, all right, well, I got 5 minutes that I can kill. And I said, please don't. And then we went to the truck, and we waited 5 minutes, and then we waited like another, we waited another 5 minutes. So we waited 10 minutes in total, and then me and Smitty got in a truck and moved from the spot and pulled to the door where Adam could see us when he walked out. And I called him. I called him twice. I couldn't get him. And then after like another 7 minutes, because it was 17 when he got in the car. It was 4:17 when he got in the car. So, or 3:17 rather. And he was like, oh, yeah, great idea to move from the spot that you were in. I was like, dude, I called you three times to try to tell you that we had moved. And he's like, yeah, sure, I heard that in a room full of people. And I was like, bro, your phone doesn't vibrate. Like, you don't have it on vibrate setting? Like where you know, I actually turn vibrate off on my phone, but I'll leave my ringer on if I need it. I mean, if I know that there's something that I need, but I make it a point to try to take everything, all the information that I have into account. And I expect everybody else to do that. And I know that they don't, and that's foolish of me to expect everybody else to do something that I do, but I do that. So he got in the truck and he was like, Jesus Christ. He was like, we got up for 17 minutes. I'm sorry that I stole 17 minutes from you. Like, this is going to make or break your day. And I was like, dude, it just felt like my time was disrespected. I made it a point to say something in the beginning. I made it a point to bring it up and say, dude, just don't hold it against me. And he was like, yeah. And I did say at the beginning, I did ask him, I was like, can I please get your word that we won't try to stop anywhere? Like stop by wherever it was that we stopped last time on the way back. Because I was a little upset about it last time we went. And they wanted to stop and hang out because they're stop and hang out people, and I'm not, one. And two, I had a gig that night. I'm pretty sure that same deal. Like, listen, I have to reboot my energy. Like, I have to work tonight, you know. And I even said that. I was like, I know you don't have anything to do tonight. I know you don't have work to do tonight. Because he had something to do, too, and he wanted to get back as well. And I was like, dude, if you want to get back, well, then just – it's easy to just, like – He's like, oh, so I could talk to my friend for 10 minutes, then I don't see him again for another year. And I'm like, dude, you're going out of town. This is just reliving my own emotion, and I shouldn't do that. I was upset, but after just saying that, what we said, it was over, and then we were fine. But then we stopped again on the way home, and at Hardee's again for the second time that day, and I got a roast beef sandwich, which, by the way, Hardee's is in the roast beef game now. It's not bad. Arby's is better, but, you know, Hardee's is pretty good. So, yeah, I had a little moment. I had like a slip back into who I used to be, and I used to be that all the time. I used to always be that person that would always say exactly what I thought when I thought it, and just being like, dude, it just felt like my time was disrespected. That was all. And he was like, oh, so yeah, what about my time? And I'm like, dude, I asked you at the beginning, like, please let's make this a quick out. And that was my whole argument. And I stopped talking because I realized that was the right thing to do yesterday. But had I went on further to explain myself, which I usually do, I would have said, I made it a point to let y'all know that I needed to get out as quick as possible. And I understood that was something that is not exactly taking everybody else into consideration, which is why I made it a point to voice it ahead of time, because I realized that that's not exactly a rational thing to think, or I'm not exactly taking everybody else's time into consideration. I was just asking ahead of time for them to take my time into consideration as well. You know, like, I was just asking ahead of time for us to, like, forego what they wanted to do to please me. But I asked ahead of time. You get what I mean? Is that, I know that this probably sounds crazy, but I just, that's how I perform. That's how I do things. That's how I act. And That's me, and I can't help that. But I did feel like I asked ahead of time, and I felt like my time was disrespected. And I said that, so I mean, I shouldn't have even said it now, but it's, I can't help it. I talk, and I get honest. And I did that last night, too, at the gig, which I'm getting to in a second, because I had a really good, really, really good ending of the night that I thought was going to be bad. As a matter of fact, on the way home, I was telling Adam, I was like, dude, I don't want to play the gig tonight. I'm just tired. All I want to do is go home and do nothing. And I'm that person. I guess I could help it, but I haven't yet. If that makes any sense. Maybe one day I will. And I live in hopes that one day I will be able to help it, but I haven't yet. You know, I haven't done anything about it yet. So, Me and Adam get dropped off by Smitty at Adam's work, and then me and Adam drive back to Adam's house where my car is, and we talk, and I was like, I did say it immediately. I was like, I'm sorry. Like, I did say that. I was just mad at the time, and I was like, dude, I understand. I know what you mean. I'm a little outside of my hours of normal operation. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not mad. I just had to say what I was thinking, or else it would have drove me crazy. But anywho, Timmy Pierce, there's one for you. We get back and I get home, and it's Saturday. It's a Saturday at the beach. It's a Saturday in Myrtle Beach, and we get back home, and I get the car loaded up. And by the time I get the car loaded up, I come into my house, and I look at the clock, and I have to leave the house in 5 minutes. So I get home, and it takes me 10 minutes to, you know, get in here and get all the stuff into the car and change. And once I, like, got everything done, and just like I was saying earlier, I get my – like, do as much pre-editing as I can. Like, I get the thing set up at the beginning. That way I don't have to do it later. I do that a lot. Like, when I go on vacation or something. Not, I say vacation. Like, that's a thing. When I go on a trip, which is always, like, a band trip or like, a Boone trip or something like that, I always pack the night before. I always get everything done as quick as I can. Like, do it now. That way you don't have to do it later type thing. And so when I got home, first thing I did was I got the rest of the equipment. We didn't need to take the whole shebang to Florence. All we needed were guitars because they had all the other equipment provided. But normally we have to take the whole, you know, whole deal, speakers and all. So I came home, I picked up the speakers, the system and all, loaded that up, and got changed and sat down for 5 minutes, maybe 7 or 8 minutes, just because, you know, shit, I just needed some time. And I was on the way to the gig, and I thought, you know what, man, let's just get to this gig. There's a Starbucks next door. Just get to this gig. We'll go get a dirty chai, and we'll do it with caffeinated coffee. I usually get decaf because I don't like the feeling of getting my heart rate up. You know, I've made a lot of bad choices in my life with blow over a lot of years and stuff like that. And it makes me feel like that whenever I drink coffee or anything that, like, gets my heart rate up like that. So I try to usually stay away from the caffeine, but every now and again, and yesterday was one of those every now and again, I just needed it. So, for those of you who don't know, chai tea, the chai tea latte from Starbucks comes with no coffee. It's a chai tea, which is caffeinated. Chai tea is pretty caffeinated. So, to put shots of espresso on top of that, you're putting double caffeine on top of something that's already caffeinated, so it's an extra jolt. So, I drank one of those, and I was doing, until it kicked in, I was like, just like I said earlier, singer-songwriter style stuff, like pretty slow tunes. I did like slow versions of other songs, like kind of singer-songwriter stuff. And I had a couple of tables that were responding pretty well. And if you could just get one table to respond pretty well, you can ride off of their energy because they'll clap every time, no matter whether anybody else does or not, if you play to them. And I had one of those tables, and they kind of encouraged everybody else because people were paying attention to things going on around like their table and stuff, having conversations and things. Most people don't even realize that you're playing a song or that you've ended it until they hear somebody else clap. And then when they hear people clap, everybody does that. So that's one cool thing if you're a musician and you have trouble getting like crowd response and things like that. Try to pick one person to play to and make that one person happy, and that'll sort of spread. But anyway, after that coffee kicked in, this table of people came and sat right in front of me. And usually people that sit right in front of the table, right in front of the band, are always complaining about how loud it is. But this table came and sat there and didn't say a word. They were all stoked. They were responsive. And by that point, the coffee kicked in, so I started talking a lot. And I had these my business cards. I don't think I have one here. I had my business cards, and I had them set up next to me. And I was like, guys, I have a podcast. I do a lot of talking. So if you guys are interested in that, check out the podcast cards. And I do have links to my music stuff as well on the website and all. By the way, mistuffpodcast.com. Please go and check that out if you're interested in anything that any other music that I've recorded. I have in the About, the Music About section. Is I have links to all of the singles that I've released, which I released another single, by the way. I've released four in total. The first one was Ballad of the Unlucky Man, then It Ain't Mine, then Just Words, and now Run, Darling, Run, Little Darling. And all of those songs are available on iTunes. And if you guys want to support the cause at all, this thing costs money to do that I'm doing this podcast. If you guys are enjoying any of this, please drop a tip in the tip jar in the description of the YouTube video or on the front page of the website, mistuffpodcast.com. Check out our sponsors as well at screwballwhiskey.com, S-K-R-E-W, ballwhiskey.com. Anyway, now that that's out of the way. Yes, I was telling them if you guys are interested in the podcast, I have links to the, you know, all of the social media sites on the back, like so you can follow me on social media, and I post updates to music. And by the way, that's why I did that. Instead of putting the social media to the podcast and things on there, I put my personal social media contacts on the cards just because I'm posting music. I'm reposting everything on my personal pages. Like if I post it on one of my music pages or one of my podcast pages, I also repost it on my personal page. So that's a way, if follow me personally gets the podcast and the music stuff, which I'm fine with. But by the way, if you guys are out there and you do only follow just me personally, please go and follow the other pages as well. Kelsey Hudgens Music and MI Stuff Podcast, and also Cornbread and The American Sound. Follow those pages as well. But anyway, I was telling these folks at this table of awesome folks from they were Phillies fans, man. They were from Pennsylvania. But the Phillies beat us just now. It was a shame. We won the series though, I don't care. They grabbed a couple of cards and we had started carrying on conversation by this between sets, and I was telling them stories about my uncle who's in and out of prison ever since I was a baby, and it was just kind of funny for them, and I did it in a funny way, and I honestly was trying and have been trying over the last couple of weeks. I was just legit trying to do stand-up in between. I've been watching Kill Tony a lot. And in watching Kill Tony over the last couple of months, so they give comedians 60 seconds to do a bit, and then it turns into a podcast, and they interview these people. So I have been trying in between sets to do a solid 60 seconds every time. And in doing that, I feel like I have started... Can I count that? They ask these people on Kill Tony, you know, how long have you been doing stand-up? And some of them will say, you know, this is my first time. And I wonder if I actually go and do a stand-up set, would that be considered my first time? Or I feel like I would have somewhat of an advantage, right? Because I've been on stage and speaking to people and doing like crowd work and things like that for all my life, you know? Like ever since I was, my first band at like 13, I've been on stage and performing and like talking on a microphone and stuff like that. And I mean, even after then, I would go and I would, you know, give in churches, I would do testimonies and things like that. And when I was 13 years old and had just started playing guitar, I was also taking lay leader courses in the Methodist church. And I'm not sure, but I think one of the youngest lay leaders ever. I was to pass the course, and which means being a lay leader is that I could legally preach a sermon in a Methodist church or something like that. I know that that's somebody who actually knows what it is. I've butchered this definition, but I'm trying to make this as broad for folks to understand it. If I went to describing the fine details of it, it would sound like Greek to a lot of them. So basically being a lay leader is just giving you a certificate that you have, you know, completed courses in spoken ministry, basically. So, I did that when I was a kid. So I've basically been speaking in front of people for a very long time, but doing it in a stand-up, like comedic setting is like with intentions of making people laugh is I guess something that I have also been doing for a very, very long time, like just trying to get people to laugh. But I'm not sure if that would count. But anyway, I digress. So last night I was talking to these folks at this table and telling them stories about Jimmy Jr., my uncle. And I even went into a little bit about, you know, how my mom was just like my mom and my mom's side of the family are just, you know, and not my entire mom's side of the family. Like don't freak out, cousins. But just, you know, my mom and my uncle, more in particular, just my mom wasn't a good person. My uncle's been in and out of prison his entire life. And my entire life he's been in and out of prison. And I was telling stories about that. And I was doing it in a stand-up fashion. So I had a lot of fun with that. And I realized after doing, you know, after carrying on a conversation or two with this table and just telling stories and playing songs and talking about sports and talking about crazy things and like how these half lifted trucks. All right. So all of a sudden, I'm from the South and you hear these giant pipes coming around the corner. And back in the day, being a little redneck, you know, from Bennettsville, South Carolina, you hear pipes coming around the corner. And by pipes, I mean like loud truck pipes. And you're like, oh man, I can't wait to see what this looks like. And then you turn and look, and it's a truck that has half of a lift kit. Half of a lift kit. Ladies and gentlemen, that's dumb as shit. Where in the world do these people get off on halfway lifting up their truck? Now, most of these people got these big rims with these lift kits on the truck. It's all jacked up but crooked. And they got slicks on their tires. They got slicks for tires. Like, man, you got a lift kit on this thing. At least put some all-terrains on it, man. Some mud tires, dude. I understand. I had a friend of mine that had a truck that was like that. And he said that he liked to, he had it set up like that because it looked like it was flying all the time. He said it always looked like it was flying. And I was like, man, that just don't. I mean, you sure? Like, all right, I hear you, I guess. But he's like, this truck just looks like it's all the time flying, you know, going down the road, up online like that. And I'm like, man, if that's what they call it, they call it the Carolina Lean. I don't know what they call it in y'all's territory. Drop in the comments what they call it where you're from, if rednecks do that, wherever y'all at. Here close by, I think they've called it the Carolina Squat, the Ainer Lean, that Carolina Squat, I think, is what they call it. I said Carolina Lean, didn't I? I meant Squat. But the Ainer Lean, the Conway Lean. All I gotta say is, like, I remember back in the day, you get a lift kit, you lift the whole damn truck, and you put the mud tires on it. The only reason you put the lift kit on it is so that you can move your tires all the way around like they're supposed to. But we talked a lot about that because I don't know what's going on, by the way. But I know there's a shitload of rednecks around because they wouldn't an empty spot in a cookout or a Krispy Kreme. And I know that because I like cookout Krispy Kreme, man. I like that shit. They ain't no empty spot in a cookout. There's a line around the parking lot and drive through every Krispy Kreme. Every parking lot's full. And the only reason I know that that something's going on and there's rednecks down here right now is because that's something that rednecks love. They love a cookout and they love a Krispy Kreme. And young rednecks, y'all love a Krispy Kreme and a cookout. And I imagine older folks do too, but I know that it's specifically popular amongst young folks. And cookout particularly is, and Krispy Kreme as well, because of fundraisers and stuff, are very popular amongst youth groups and Christian, young groups of Christian folks. And a lot of these people, man, I rode by and it's like, dude, just a bunch of people look like they loaded up with concrete. You know, sacks of concrete, or they got a, they're carrying a mess of shingles somewhere, or something like that, and they ain't doing it. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's at the core of it. Y'all know how far and deep I think into things, and this just kind of popped up. Maybe at the core of it, they want to feel like they're the working man, you know, that they got something in the truck that's weighing them down. You know, they got a load. They got some granite they got to go and drop off somewhere. They got some pavers they'd loaded up and they got to take and drop off somewhere, something like that. But no, it ain't nothing. It's just your empty Mountain Dew cans and your empty Skull Wintergreen cans and your empty brain. In the driver's seat, driving. I will say this, though. Most of them do signal properly. I did notice that. I started paying attention. I noticed one guy, like, started signaling and got over and then, like, stayed in that lane for a second, signaled again and got in the other lane. I was like, that's proper driving. And I started paying attention. So just about all of them signaled properly. Because that was something I complained about, man, was, like, using acceleration lanes, which I did last time, and I'm not going to bore you guys with that again. But, like, signaling properly and just using good driver etiquette. And sometimes what people think is right will work, but it might not be great driver etiquette. And I preach about driver etiquette a lot. Just, like, be just signal properly. If you're in a high traffic situation, you can't hesitate. You got just make sure you signal properly. Let people know what you're doing. As long as you let, and do that in life, signal properly in life as well. Just make sure you let people know what you're doing. Shoot somebody a text and say, "Hey, man, I'm on the way to your house." Don't just show up and knock on the door. Signal properly. I'm just telling people what to do to me. Don't just show up at my door. Shoot me a text first, man. Give me a call. Don't give me a call. Shoot me a text. I hate phone calls, man. I don't know why I hate phone calls so much. Some people's easy to talk to. I'll tell you, Adam Justice is a very easy person to talk to because he'll call you and you answer it and be like, "What's up?" He'll ask you one question. You answer that one question. He's like, "All right," and hangs up. I'm like, "All right, that's cool. I can deal with that." That kind of stuff. But man, people that want to talk, like people that want to just like actually carry on a conversation, man, like unless it's like my dad or somebody like that, dude, I just can't. I can't, like, it's hard for me to like carry on a conversation with somebody, man. Now, there's a couple of exceptions, but man, I can't. It's hard for me to fake interest in a story that I don't care about. And I'm put into a situation where that's the case most often. But I mean, half the time people are just sitting there talking and I'm just like, don't nobody care about what this person's saying. I just don't care. I'm sorry for that. I'm really sorry that I'm like that, but. And you know what? I said something on the way home yesterday. I said it before I'd actually thought about it. And I was like, you know, I feel like I've gotten to the point now to where I've gone through this mental boot camp that I've put myself through on, like, being alone and finding out, not by being alone, but by being comfortable being alone. You have to be comfortable being by yourself. Like, if you are someone who constantly has to be around people all the time, you may have something going on that you don't realize in your life that you need to address. And constantly being around people or fear of being by yourself could be a telltale sign that there's an issue that you have that you need to overcome. So I was that person. I was just terrified of being alone. It was my biggest fear. And I took 1 year and I wanted to make sure that I conquered all the fears that I had. And one was clowns. I fixed that. One was just being alone and I fixed that. And, I noticed that I've been able to be out of my house more frequently lately than I have in the past for longer. And that means, like, on the way home, I'll tell you how bad it was. After a gig, I would come home and drive past all of the places where I could obtain food or grocery stores and such. I would drive past all of those places, come home and unload my equipment and just walk inside my house. Literally just walk inside my house, unload my equipment, unload everything and put it over here by the door. And then get in my car and go back and figure out what I wanted to eat and get food and go to the Walmart or whatever. I had literally done that forever. Like, I've just come home, drop off my stuff, and then go get everything that I would need for the night. Like, instead of getting it on the way home, which is what a normal person would do because it's one shot. And what I would do, just because I'm that kind of a person, I'm like, do this now so you don't have to do it later. And I didn't even realize that I didn't really care about getting food. I just needed to get home. And once I got home and walked inside, once I crossed my threshold and put the equipment down, I'm fine. And then I can go back out into the world and get the stuff that I needed for food. So I've noticed lately that, you know, I can do that. I can, like, stop on the way home and not go, like, and then when I get home, like, stay there. And that's a small thing that you guys normally wouldn't notice, but I notice a lot of things. And I don't know, man. That's just something that's always bothered me. Something that's always bothered me is about myself is just how I'm always looking for some way or some excuse or some reason, like, because this happened, this must have happened in my mind. Like, I use my deduction as well on myself, and I'm like, I try to figure out the root of where these problems come from. Why do I not want to be alone? Why do I have such a hard time, like, being in public? Why do I not want to, you know, go out into the world and put myself in any amount of discomfort? And then I think, you know, maybe it was because I was mostly raised by my grandparents and I was spoiled as a kid and I got my way and I got everything I wanted. So I now have the grown-up version of that. And if I don't get my way when I've been told that I would get my way, and I even said that last night, I was like, you can't let me think that I'm going to get my way and then take it away from me. Like, that's not fair. And like, it sounded like a child speaking, and I understand that. But it was honest, and I'd rather be honest than anything else. I'd rather be honest than right. And that's a huge statement for me. Because I would rather be right than most everything else in the world. I'd rather be right than liked. But I'd rather be honest than right. Huh. I'm just learning things about myself, guys. I'm just learning. But anyway, I've gotten to the point lately, and I said it on the way home the other night, or last night, or yesterday, actually, that I've put myself through this boot camp of, you know, being alone and getting to know myself, getting to know exactly who I am, you know, getting to know my own person. You know, I have this bad thing of when I would fall in love with a girl, which I self-admittedly do very easily. And when I would fall in love with somebody, with a girl, I would try to figure out who she wanted me to be, and I would try to be that person. And instead of, you know, and I just did that. I would just every single time I would meet somebody, I would just try to become whoever that person would want me to be. You know, I would try to become whoever she would want me to be. And I did that consistently, like, all of my life. And I realized that this is just dumb. This is a dumb way to do things. And I don't know who the fuck I am. I don't know who I really am. I don't know where, you know, I don't know who I am. So I had to find out who I was. And I did that by sitting by myself and struggling through the worst depression I've probably ever had, outside of right before I quit drinking. And I figured it out. Like, I figured out, like, I came to terms with the fact that, like, you know what? Don't want to be alone forever? Maybe not. Maybe. If I do end up alone forever, is that okay? Absolutely. Because I know I'm fine with it now. I know that I can do that. I know that I can. I know that I can do this. So getting to the point to where you are comfortable with being by yourself is, I think, monumental in overcoming certain types of anxiety, certain types of depression, And I think that I think that depression and anxiety are very complicated in the way that there are more than just one type of this. There are more than just, oh, I have anxiety or I have depression. Like, it's not like that. It's very complex. It's like sometimes it's seasonal. Sometimes it's situational. I mean, there's just different types of each thing. And I've figured out a way to overcome certain types of it, you know. And I was one that would suffer mostly from like a delusional depression, if you will. Like, I run in my mind all of these things that could potentially happen. And I can't stop that. Because I won't stop that. One, because it's very helpful in certain situations. And by saying I've figured out a way to control certain types of anxiety and depression, the delusional anxiety and delusional depression that I'm going to tag it as in like something that could potentially happen that I've put myself into, for instance, yesterday when we were on the way to the gig and Smitty said something about, oh, because this thing could potentially happen or could happen doesn't mean that it will. And I was like, yes, I understand that, but preparing for it is not a foolish thing. You know, I mean, that's like having this military isn't gonna, you know, it's not like we're gonna be attacked by infidel or whatever you want to call it, but having these people here to protect us as a precaution is not a foolish thing either. You know, I just don't think that it's a bad idea to prepare, you know, just for something that might happen. Now, it used to be that I would think about these things that could happen, and I would just convince myself that that's what did happen. And that would cause me great depression because I would have in my mind that something had occurred that hadn't occurred, and it was just a delusional thought that I had that realizing that I just think like that was key in overcoming that thing. So once I got to the point to where I was like, okay, so this means that I just think differently than folks. This just means that I have a different kind of brain. This doesn't mean that these things are going to happen. This just means that I have more filters than, and I say more filters than most people. Maybe I don't. Maybe other people are like me. Maybe I'm not that much different than everybody else. Let me know. Am I? Are you guys like that too? Do you? I just, in things that I see people do, and I see people do a lot of things that I would have done differently I feel like I would have prepared better. But anyway, that's just me talking about me and my narcissistic ways now. So, what's up, JL? Right, 100%. That's exactly right. Once you realize it is your free will God gave us, and our earthly hell is what you created, 1,000%, brains will feel so much better. That's where I am. Is that I realize that these are things that, you know, this delusional depression or delusional anxiety that you can drive yourself into, and not even realize it. You know, not know any, you know, and not realize that you have done that. And the thing that I have trouble with, though, is the situational depression or situational anxiety, to where the last bad panic attack that I had was at Blue Crab Festival. And it had started raining on one of the days, and I was the equipment was getting wet. We were going to have to play this gig. I knew we were going to have to do it. And 100 times out of 100, we would cancel that gig elsewhere. But this is a very important gig, and I knew that I had to do it. And it was something that immediately I was uncomfortable about getting the equipment wet. And it just really, really, forgive my language, but fucked my head up for a while. And I was forced into it, and I didn't have time to prepare for it. You know, I didn't have time to think, well, what if something that I had not anticipated, which is rare, very rare, that something I had not anticipated happens. And it was out of my control, and I lost my shit. And I couldn't help it. There was nothing that could be done about it at that moment but realize it and just, like, breathe. And, you know, just I stood still. I stood in the middle of the pilot house, and I just breathed. I was a different person for a little while. And like I said, those things, like situational depression and situational anxiety, like I would say, like if something actually happens and that could cause sadness, or if something actually happens that, oh shit, like I didn't realize this thing could happen. Now that's part of this list of things that could potentially happen, but now it has happened, which means that statistics of it happening again goes up just because it's happened. You know, like this is baseball rules. You know, if a guy goes hitless for 100 at bats but gets one hit, his average goes up. You know, not by much, but it goes up. So that's what Smitty said yesterday. He's like, oh, so you plan on that thing that's never happened before to happen? I'm like, yes, you plan on that thing that's never happened before to happen. If you plan on that, if it ever does happen, you'll look like a fucking genius. And will you look like an idiot if it doesn't happen? No. You're just prepared. I don't know. It's like the doomsday preppers and stuff like that. Those people are... some of them are probably crazy. Some of them are just like, you know what? If this thing does happen, I'm not going to be one of those folks who's sitting around thinking about how I'm going to be safe, because I'm going to know. And it's worth that, I think. But in all in all, I have had a couple of small victories lately in my own mind, and those things don't mean much to other people, but I have had success at things that I've failed at consistently over the last, and these are mental things, like things that I've had trouble overcoming in the past, I am not having that same trouble with right now. So it's been good. Like yesterday, I was not expecting to have as good of a gig as I did last night. Man, that one table, you guys from Pennsylvania, I gave you guys cards. I don't know if you'll ever hear this or not, but thank you guys so much for your energy. And it was like, because I feed off of that. I've said, I don't know how many times on the podcast, listeners know exactly what's coming right now. But the room has to be at a certain energy level for a successful gig. And if the crowd doesn't provide it, the artist has to provide all of it. And that quota has to be met no matter what. You know, the energy level has to be at a certain point for the gig to be successful. And I'm not one of those people who can settle for an unsuccessful gig. So I would have to provide all the energy, but you guys' energy was so awesome. And not only that, like I got away with doing stuff that I wanted to do. You know, I played Shine On Crazy Diamond for probably 7 or 8 minutes too long. And I played some originals and just things that I liked and songwriters that I liked. And I introduced them to some stuff that they had never heard. And they appreciated that. And I had conversations about why I don't play certain types of music and certain songs that, you know, other bands and other artists play. And that was good. You know, that was to have that sort of a gig after having 1,000%, every crowd is different, JL. You do have to play off of it. And just having that mental victory there in like being in a situation to where I would normally have a bad gig, because I'd already done an early gig. I'd been awake for, let's see, I would usually get up at 3 o'clock and I got up at 9 that morning. So I was up that much earlier than I normally would have been. And I was in a car all day. Being in a car just makes you so exhausted. And driving and riding, and I was in the back seat, and it was a little, I'm a giant, and that kind of sucks. But just, it was, every, the cards were stacked against me having a good gig, and I had a good gig. And I am a very statistically true person. Like, usually, statistically, what will happen is what happens with me. I rarely ever step outside of my statistics. So statistically, I should have had a bad gig, but I didn't. And that's a huge deal for me. But it was all because I really had a good crowd. And that really does make that much of a difference. But I do have a gig tonight. I have a gig tomorrow. If you guys hear this live or between now, it is 5:34 p.m. Eastern time. If you hear this before and you are anywhere near the Myrtle Beach area, please come to Garden City Pier tonight. And it is the 28th. And yeah, come to Garden City Pier tonight at 8:30. We got about 3 hours before that show's kicking off. And if you hear this before Monday, I'm pretty sure that I'm at Mako's Oceanfront tomorrow at 6 o'clock. I'm not 100% on that, but I'm pretty sure. So check that out. And also, the very, very talented Will Ness is going to be stopping by next Monday, the 5th, at 3 p.m., I believe. Maybe 2 p.m., maybe 1. I'm not sure. I'll have specifics on the time. I just don't have it in front of me. I know that I've confirmed it. I just can't remember exactly what time it is. But brother Will Ness is going to be coming on. He's a great musician, great songwriter. He's in this area, and we're going to be doing a pretty good episode here next Monday. So that's going to be happening. Stay tuned for that. Also, you may get another surprise episode tonight. Not sure yet. And I did have my guitar sitting over next to me the whole time, and I had every intention of, you know, doing a little finger pick and talk this time, but I didn't think about it until halfway through, and then I was like, well, it's a little late now. And also, I would play some of those original songs that I've released, but I want you guys to go and check out the studio versions, because I recorded them here in this chair. And they are available now for download. So please go do that. And plus, I'd have to go through a long, strenuous process of clearing this video, you know, being able to legally play those songs, because now I've published them through a distribution agency. So I'll have to, the video will get removed and I'll have to go and whitelist it. And it's just a long, strenuous process. I've streamed a couple of gigs live, but only problem is, JL, is I have to have 1,000 subscribers before I can stream from mobile. So until I get to that threshold of 1,000 subs, I'm kind of limited. So please share this page out. Anybody who hears this, please share the YouTube page. I'm trying to get to 1,000 subscribers. My next threshold that I want to break is 420, just because I'm a pothead. And sorry, that's just it's a funny number for me. I could have said, 369, huh? Oh, you guys, listen to that. Isn't that great?
Stop me, you beautiful!
So anyway, yeah, please share the YouTube page. Please go to amistuffpodcast.com. Follow on the social media. I have personal links to social media on there in the blog section and the about section. And I have links to the downloads in the about section at mistuffpodcast.com, which I also think kelseyhudgens.com will get you there as well. But what else do we got? Please go and check out screwballwhiskey.com. S-K-R-E-W, ballwhiskey.com. And drop some kind words to, drop some kind words in there to the Screwball Whiskey family and say something about the MI Stuff podcast. Because I'm curious that, I'm curious how many folks actually, how much traffic Screwball Whiskey has actually picked up because of this podcast. I know it's not a lot because we don't reach very far. You know, I'm very proud of our reach. But Screwball Whiskey is a much bigger entity than we are right now. So I'm just curious how much of that traffic that comes from the podcast. So yeah, tag, post a social media post or something like that and tag in my stuff podcast and Screwball Whiskey just to kind of show, let me know how much of an effect this podcast is actually having on that. I'm curious. I want to know. Also, if you Google my name, Kelsey Hudgens, you'll notice over on the right side of the screen that there will be a little knowledge panel now with a picture of me and things that saying what I am, musician and singer-songwriter, and links to the music and stuff. I have just recently been able to make this happen. And Brother Steve Blevins, who was on the podcast recently, was the first one who you know, put that idea in my head. So after watching plenty of YouTube videos and screwing around and hitting buttons and uploading some singles and doing things like that, I've finally been Spotify verified. I'm a Spotify verified artist right now. I am on the way to becoming a YouTube verified artist. And I am also... I've been able to push all of my pages to the top of Google. So when you Google my name, I am, all of the things that come up on the first couple of pages are on me. So that's cool. Please do that. Check that out and see if it happens and report back. But anyway, I'm going to let you guys get out of here and get back to your Sunday fun day. And I'm going to get on to the Garden City Pier tonight. But yeah. Once again, sorry it took me so long to get this episode out. This week was pretty crazy, but we're here in it now. All right. In a world full of shitty people, don't be one of those people. Be a good person. Peace, bitches.